just like the stutter you worked through high school, rearing its ugly head when the 10 comes up to talk to you at the bar, we are back.
Back.
That was a good one.
Dude, I was working through my stutter real hard.
I was going to say, that showed some real strength because you summoned it as soon as you started talking about it.
Oh, yeah. How's it going, guys?
You just made me remember that I did speech therapy when I was a very small child for like a couple years in grade school.
Fun fact.
Had a little bit of a speech impediment.
I didn't talk until like preschool. Like, I couldn't say a word. I would just like point at shit.
Yeah.
Apparently, like, I did like the mama and the dada and stuff like that. But apparently my first words were chocolate milk because they wouldn't give it to me unless I fucking said it.
Maybe you just didn't have shit to say.
No, dude.
That's the best way to learn.
I'm an observer, obviously.
Even as a baby, you're cool as fuck. You're like, nah, man.
Or farming to the max, dude.
Yeah, exactly. My uncle's mogging your parents from birth.
My uncles would take me to fast food places and tell me to go order chicken sticks because my speech impediment made it sound like I was a small child saying, I would like a box of chicken dicks. They thought this was funny as fuck, and I was a kid, and I just wanted some chicken.
I just wanted my chicken
stick or dick, I didn't care.
Wait.
Some sort of a gay chicken?
Hardee's. What do you think?
No wonder you like Arby's so much.
I remember Burger King introducing chicken fries, and that being maybe the most revolutionary invention of my childhood.
I remember that too. Oh my god, what are these chickens in stick form called fries?
Like, they're like chicken nuggets.
It was like
long.
Yeah, but the long way.
Yeah, chicken and it was a different blend of chicken goo in chicken, the
yeah.
Chicken
it was
fries.
It was a little bit spicier. It had a zhuzh to it.
Yeah, it had like a zhuzh. It had a more foamy, spongy zhuzh.
Every so often, Burger King will like do something great like that to remind you, like, hey, we're still in the game. And then it's like they lie dormant for years.
Remember when Burger King used to put out video games for the Xbox?
Yes.
Amazing.
They put out an awesome Simpsons game. It was a Burger King release.
They had that Burger King Kids Club, and their mascot was just like the most bland, cool teen of all time. He just looked like Zach Morris wearing like pit vipers.
And you all hung out in Uncle Touchy's puzzle basement.
Jesus. Uncle, what? Puzzle? What?
It's like an escape room.
Yeah.
Except. You don't.
There's a lot of cameras.
Yeah.
I hate every bit of this. Not as much as I hate
my dry mouth. I hear you.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Before I talk about this, because it came up, I have to speak on how much
we didn't count it down. We didn't have anything. We were
I had some in my hand.
We were rushing.
Burger King just needs to not be called Burger King. They need to be called Chicken Fry King.
Yeah.
Maybe breakfast croissant-witch king.
Hold the fucking phone.
Because those are the only two things worth a
grain
of salt.
Hold the fuck on.
I do like their chicken.
Hold the fuck on.
All right.
Bacon King.
Bacon King.
Bacon King's
the size of a steering wheel. Full strips of bacon.
I don't like bacon on a burger.
I really
prefer it separate.
Okay, we get it. Your taste buds have not evolved. We appreciate it.
Bacon cheeseburger is one of God's greatest gifts to humanity. It's the mixture of pork and beef that makes this country truly great.
It makes me believe in God.
I just prefer it.
You're a big egg on a burger guy, though, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to get into this
egg
again.
Egg baking.
Do you guys remember?
Breakfast burger.
Speaking
hash brown.
Changing the names of things.
Yes.
You guys remember when International House of Pancakes became the International House of Burgers for a little bit?
IHOB.
Guys, we're going to IHOB. Marketing scam.
Yeah, they like put out saying like, oh, hey, we do burgers now. Or like, we've been doing burgers. We do more than breakfast, but everybody's like, "What?" Everybody's outraged at the place.
And everyone calls
as if they would spend millions of dollars changing all the signs.
Wasn't the bit also that they were going to just turn the P around?
Yeah, that's literally what they did. They changed all the logos,
which would be harder than just replacing the sign. They were Chris Nolaning the shit out of this.
I think it was bad on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think like marketing, advertising is like wrestling in a way, because there's a level of like kayfabe to it, you know?
Yeah.
Like the people don't want to know that they're being advertised to, so the more seductive you can get with it, the better.
Yeah. No, I hear that.
And so like, it wouldn't surprise me, like, remember when Gap changed their logo a few years ago and everyone threw a fucking fit about it? We talked about it in a graphic design class of mine, but basically like, The idea being, you don't spend a lot of money to do stuff like this, and it generates a bunch of publicity as long as you operate under the ideology that, like, any press is good press.
Right.
So IHOP spending no money to turn the P into a B and say we're International House of Burger now, to me, reeks of we are working social media to get people to talk about IHOP.
This is interesting because I'm already, like, hearing what you're talking about and applying it to, like, so many different things.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to reference the New Coke thing from, like, the 80s. People still occasionally reference that, and there's always been this theory that they made New Coke bad on purpose so that when they would re-release the original product, people would go crazy for it.
Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Sonic looked like shit just for... Everybody says, like, oh, they bullied the studio into spending billions of dollars.
Did they?
Can I be honest? Because
they don't give a fuck.
It's a lot easier to change one trailer that you sent, that you show a bunch of people than an entire fucking movie.
To me, that one, though, that's a stance where I'm like, bullying kind of worked, because that first Sonic design was fucking heinous.
But what if they want you to think that bullying works, then so that you keep engaging with their product?
Then
the Snyderverse would never have happened.
Then they did it successfully. Like, that one was, you're right, though, it's so bad that it almost had to be on purpose, because it's a thing where you're like, it's a fucking cartoon.
Yeah.
You can just make the video game into the thing. We have the technology. We've had it for fucking decades.
I'm amazed that we are finally getting to the period of film where people are realizing we can just take the video game and make people do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And put that in front of a camera and then have other people watch it.
We're getting to a point where people are like, if we take an IP and change less about it.
Yeah.
Right,
we just copy it.
Yeah. Who knew?
Who thought?
Like, not me. The only time that's been done without, like true, like, CGI going hog wild would be, like, Sin City.
Yeah.
But that's because the source material lent itself to that. Yeah. Now, your source material can be a Greek god, like, epic saga, or it can be a fucking day-to-day humdrum drama. And you can still make that on a computer, and it will be totally fucking fine as long as you just say, this is a computer animation.
Yeah.
I'm not insulting you. I don't need photorealistic Sonic.
Speaking of which, for my undercard, I watched the entirety of X-Men 97 over the weekend.
Oh, so you're all caught up.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
It is fucking awesome.
That last episode? Yeah. I'm also caught up.
Episode 4 or 3. I haven't seen 4 yet.
Oh, so you're only on part 1.
Yes.
Of Rise of Blank.
Yes.
Okay.
I think.
Shockingly, I have not seen one episode of this, even though it seems like it was made exclusively for me.
So there are several points throughout the show that are taken directly from the comics. Like, they are just playing high points of the X-Men comics.
Speak to them.
And my favorite part, though, is because it literally takes place in late 96, early 97.
It literally just is the immediate continuation from the 90s. That's why they call it 97s, because, the animated series. Okay. It's literally just like, oh, hey, this happened on the last episode. First episode of X-Men 97 is literally just the next episode.
Okay, I'm going to, like, just straight up commit to watching this thing, because I'm sure it's shorter episodes.
Yeah, 30 minutes.
Yep. Yeah, so this is a perfect end of the evening. I'm about to go to bed.
Yep.
This will engage me.
It has a recap before every episode, the way good TV shows used to.
Love that.
Because it comes out episodically.
Yeah. And it's like, it's so great, and I think my favorite part of it is how many times villains specifically say, the 1990s.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Throughout the series.
We gotta get you back to the 1990s.
It's incredible, dude. I'm going to strike the X-Men at their most vulnerable, the 1990s. It's incredible. It's so fucking good.
Oh, man, dude.
They do such a good job, and that's such a good instance of, like, just take the shit that people liked and build on that. We don't need you to reboot the same shit over and over and over again. You can just pick up where other people left off.
And, not to mention, my favorite fucking part of it is that, and respectfully, because I know he's your favorite character.
Yeah, sure.
Wolverine is not the centerpiece.
Yeah,
and
no.
But Wolverine is never, like, supposed to be the centerpiece of X-Men. It's about the group.
Yeah.
And the very first X-Men of Cyclops being the team leader. Like, the...
There were whole episodes in that first run of the series that Wolverine is not in.
Yes. Yeah. Dude, the first season of the... Like, it's been out for over a year, so it's fine. Yeah. The first scene of the first episode is literally just, like, them coming to action or whatever. And, like, he tells them all, all right, jump out of the wing, jump out, jump out, jump out. Like, what about you? He's like, I got it. He jumps out, no parachute. Yeah. Got other people that can't fly are being held on. And he's just falling, smiling on his face. He literally just blasts the ground as hard as he fucking can. And just slowly comes down. All you see him fucking superhero pose. Mm. He
Cyclops is like a Chad.
He stands up. He goes, to me, my X-Men.
Dig it.
Boom! Oh, man. I
gotta
get a pillow on my...
It nails the tone really well. And Jesus.
Swiss. I got the fucking Dwayne's, Tom.
Yeah, dude. Legit.
It's on my workout playlist too.
It's worth your time.
Yeah.
And also has a bunch of tie-ins to Marvel Rivals, the video game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so much where I'm like, wow, this is the same universe. Okay.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Something on my undercard that I very much wanted to talk about now on Amazon Prime is Project Hail Mary.
Good.
Has anybody seen this movie?
Very good. No, I've heard only good things about it.
I watched it last night, and oh my god, it is a close to 3-hour movie.
Yeah, it's long, but I believe
that was a thing that kind of like, not that I like actively avoid long movies, but like, when it was out in theaters, that kind of was a deterrent. Like, every so often I'd be like, oh, man, I want to go see something tonight. I'd be like, oh, man.
It's like 2 hours and 42 minutes.
But no, it was so good. The storytelling is so great. Ryan Gosling
is
so fucking
one of the best actors of all time. I'll say it. There's nothing he can't do, and he acts his fucking balls off against a rock. CGI rock puppet.
A literal rock. But, man, like, the storytelling, like...
It's a really good just like human emotion thing, you know. Yeah. It's like there's sci-fi elements and shit, but they don't bog you down with that too much.
I cried.
Bailey put it over huge. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's really good.
It made me realize how thankful I am that we have Ryan Gosling as our human transpondent to
Driver.
Yes.
I would put it in the same category as like a Forrest Gump. Almost.
Oh, okay. Like, tonally, kind of?
Yeah. Like, how it's kind of funny, just, it's kind of sad.
Just meanders a bit, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a sci-fi movie, but it's also, like, survival and...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really good. Like, it's one of those movies where you watch it and you go, yeah, I just saw a goddamn movie.
Yeah, I love that feeling.
Yeah.
Well, at the opposite end of that spectrum, I've seen some movies that I want to talk about.
I've seen some goddamn movies.
Yeah. Been on a bit of a 90s action kick lately. Sorry.
Oh, I also saw Equilibrium. You ever seen that?
No, but I've heard about it. Is it fucking crazy?
It's kind of fucking awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll talk about that off air.
Yeah, okay. I really want to see that in the right state of mind, if you get my drift. I saw a film called The Time Machine that, interestingly enough, was based on the H.G. Wells Time Machine and was directed by H.G. Wells' grandson. This movie stars Guy Pearce. It came out in 2002.
Guy Pearce, underrated.
He is underrated. Not in this movie, though. It is awful. It is.
Guy was bad?
Dude.
Mental Guy was bad.
The whole thing, it's a thing where I'm like, I know that I read this book when I was a kid. Like, I read, like, all those classics and shit. Like, I know I read The Time Machine. And I was like, do I not remember it because it fucking sucked?
It's a weird story.
Like, there's
the Morlocks and the fucking
8 million years in the future. Like, yeah. I can't go back. Like, there's so much awesome stuff there, and then this was just not it. We're talking O2 effects on a not O2 budget, in my opinion. There's parts in this that looked like a play or a Hallmark movie. I fucking hated it.
Well, they blew their budget on Guy Pearce.
Yeah, they did. And he was like, I got my cash. I am not trying.
Yeah, they paid him in advance, suckers.
Tremendous effort for Memento.
They still got to give me my rate.
Even if I do a bad job, they still got to give me that $2 bill.
I watched Double Team. I want to watch this with all of you. This is a 90-minute, 90s action movie. I wanted to try to recreate some of that thrill that Face Off gives me.
Yeah.
Because, goddamn, man, it's the best, right?
So that's kind of 101, though.
It is. It's the purest 90s action movie, right? I wanted to get something similar. So, fucking, I watched Double Team, which stars...
Wait, let me guess.
Oh, man.
What year? What year?
This came out in 1997. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go round the table. Here's the setup. Double Team, okay? The two stars, one is an action movie icon, one is not an actor making his acting debut in 1997, and these are both top billed equally. give me two picks.
You got Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Okay.
And LL Cool J.
Mm.
What if I told you you got one of these right?
Oh, I think I know which one. I know that Jean-Claude Van Damme is probably in this film.
Jean-Claude Van Damme is the action film star.
Yes.
Who is the non-actor debuting?
Is it Aaliyah?
No, and also no. You're going a different direction here because you're thinking of entertainers.
Oh, you're just talking... Are we talking, like, the milkman from next door?
Picture someone famous in 1997 that is not in music, that is not in acting.
That's not in acting. Uh-huh. Not in music.
Andre Agassi.
You're actually fairly close. It is Dennis Rodman. That's right.
The Wayne.
That man has lived a life.
Double Team stars in both lead roles, Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dennis Rodman. It is astonishing. Mickey Rourke is in this movie as the villain, and he's jacked as shit, and he weaponizes a tiger.
Weaponizes a tiger.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm sure.
It was pretty fucking great.
You know, the first time I saw a tiger weaponized, it was in RRR.
Good stuff.
Top three favorite movie of mine of all time.
First time I saw a tiger weaponized was in Life of Pi.
Ooh, that's a good one, too.
Oh, you know what?
And that ends up being a metaphor.
And guess what? It was his mind. Yeah.
I did see that movie, and it was before RRR. I just didn't picture the tiger as, like, weaponized.
Yeah, well, the way I see it is the mind weaponized. Like, the mind, to make everything make sense, it used the tiger. So it weaponized a tiger in his brain to be the killer, to be his father.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying, but I mean, like, someone is, like...
You're thinking... Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about a court of law, Your Honor.
You're talking metaphor. I'm talking, literal.
I've got a tiger in a big slingshot.
What
and he's angry.
I also saw Judge Dredd.
The Stallone?
Which one?
The Stallone.
Okay, I'm sorry. The Stallone is my favorite action movie of all time. I knew you'd say that.
I want to rewatch it because
how many action movies have you seen?
Way too many, and I've seen Judge Dredd at least 9 times because of how
it's giving guy who's only seen Boss Baby vibes.
I've never seen Boss Baby. Now Boss Baby 2. No.
I really thought I so sincerely thought you were about to put over Boss Baby 2.
Here's the thing.
I was trying to think of a funny tagline for it, but I just could not fucking think of off the top of the roof. But no,
I babysat my sister. Boss Baby, not a bad movie.
Dude, Judge Dredd, it's so comically bad that it's so funny to me. I first saw it when I was a kid. Like, yeah, him with the fucking context in, you will be judged. Or like, I am the law.
Yeah, that's one of the best line reads of all time.
They are shooting Ruger Elemental with a shooting distance of 200 meters. We are 300 meters away from that floor. Why are you kneeling?
I'm going to rewatch it because I kind of like gave up a little too early. I think I was in the wrong mood for that kind of 90s action. I was like, all right, this will be interesting. God damn it, man. Why is Rob Schneider in a box covered in spaghetti?
I can't,
sounds made up.
No, that's part of this movie.
Dude, one of the things...
It's not even a box. It's a robot.
it's a trash robot that's picking up trash that recycles. Yeah. And he hides in there because there's a gang war going on.
Is Rob Schneider only famous for... Oh, Rob Schneider's in this.
Kinda.
So my favorite...
Like, he's just famous for hanging around.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really famous at being the other guy.
Yeah, the other guy.
Yeah. My favorite line read from that entire movie, it's so, like, it's supposed to be so serious.
Please tell me it's the two yelling at each other.
No, they're like, it's like after a workout or something, and he's like talking about how he puts the law above everything, like, how him and his brother were this, yeah. And then, like, brother did something bad, he called him, and the lady goes, well, what did you do?
Oh.
And he turns, he looks square at the camera, he goes, I judged him. And
awesome.
Every time, I am in tears from laughing so hard.
That's awesome.
Because I need you to picture Sylvester Stallone in bright blue contacts.
It's amazing.
I've seen bits and pieces of this.
Yes.
And it's one of those movies that, like, you're flipping through channels and it's on.
Have you ever seen the Carl Urban version?
No.
I have. Okay, so the Carl Urban version is actually, it's a lot better. It's more fucking
I know that the visuals were like...
It's actually...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was pretty tight. It is a better movie, hands down, 100%. I will watch Judge
Dredd. Is it
Stallone
better, now. Though? Like, that's...
Oh, it is better. It is better. It is a better movie. In my heart, it's not a better
the
movie.
The one that's just called Dredd adapts the comic pretty well. Yeah. It's short, it's violent, the visuals are fucking great.
I thought it was a graphic novel. Was it not?
Yeah. What did I say, comic?
Yeah.
No, same... You know what I mean.
It's same the same universe. Thing.
It's
the,
yeah.
Technically,
I'll beat you up.
So, should we go to the wrestling now? So we bored everybody with stuff.
Or does I have one last thing for an undercard. Brayden, did you have anything for an undercard?
No.
I have one last thing for an undercard. I'm also compiling a list based on this event of the undercard. I bought a truck. Anyways, Brayden asked me or prompted me at one point to make a list of every car I have owned. I'm working on it.
Yeah.
I will save that for a future episode.
We're doing a dedicated episode.
That's going to be a good Patreon episode.
It's own thing.
There's a lot of stories. As I'm making the list, I was like, fuck, I have good stories about every single one of these.
Yeah, that's why we're like, we want it to be its own thing.
Sometimes great, sometimes cursed machines.
There's too many fucking curtains now.
No.
Meg's here, guys.
New studio setup, guys. It's pretty fucking dope.
That is neat.
So, well,
April 7th, 2006, SmackDown coming to you pre-taped from Peoria, Illinois. Sold out capacity crowd of
some. Steven, this is your pick?
Yes, it is. It is indeed my pick.
This is the part of the episode where we say, why did you pick this? I have my own theory. So I'm curious if I'm right.
I am curious.
You first.
No. I want to hear what your theory is.
Oh, I think you were here.
Yeah, you were there.
Oh, yeah. So
I think this is like a formative memory moment in time for you.
You are absolutely right. This is a very formative memory time of mine. I was there. Not only was I there, this was the very first time I've ever been at a live event. Mm-hmm. With me, my dad, my friend Baylor, and I think his dad's name, Tony? I've been to the only other like live one that I've ever been to was actually right after Edge shaved Kurt Angle's head.
Okay.
And then he revealed the huge like poster with him being bald. That was in Peoria. I was like in the nosebleed seats, so like couldn't see anything.
Brother, I need to do some personal research because I might have also been here. But you can continue.
Personal research.
But my seats at this show were different. If you look at Hard Camp. Very front row, you can see my dad, Tony, Baylor, and then little Steven Wolf right there on the very end.
And opposite hard cam?
Opposite hard cam.
Wow.
Yep. And you might see me in a red Rey Mysterio mask.
I was going to say, are you in the Spider-Man mask, you dork?
Yes, it was a Rey Mysterio, the red one. Back then, it was
yeah, that was hot.
I got that one, and I got
that mask went platinum with
dude
fourth graders.
Yeah, that mask was. I remember that mask. Platinum. That mask was $100, and then I got the Eddie the EG armband. That was $5. But yeah,
is that your watch? Are you wearing a watch?
I probably was wearing. I was a big watch bracelet guy back in the day because my dad wore a watch. Mm. Or it's the Eddie Guerrero bracelet. Anyway, yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, this is just. Really cool.
Cool.
And as you'll see, like in the main event, why I was like, "Holy shit, it's fucking awesome." But yeah, first match is Eminem versus fucking
Lundrick.
Connor's most heated fucking rival.
Oh yeah,
Paul London.
We have both done. We have wrestled half the people in this match.
Oh
yeah. That's funny.
That would be an by the way, that would be a fucking nightmare tag match.
You and me against Paul London and John Morrison. I'm sick that day.
I'm sick that day.
I actually have to feed my cat something.
I've got so much going on.
I got a lot of paperwork. I'm fucking just neck deep.
Neck deep.
I'm buried in red tape.
Like, so, this match is a non-title match, non-title tag match.
And holy fucking shit, man. They gave this fucker time.
Do you remember when they used to care about tag team wrestling?
Like right now?
There was a time.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember when they used to care about wrestling? I have a later note that will tie into... I was going to put it on the undercard, but I was like, no, it'll tie into the episode. It's fine. Sure. We had a great wrestling discussion today.
Yeah.
Off air on the Snapchat.
That was a fantastic and point. Sorry.
This match pisses me off about modern wrestling more.
This tag?
Yeah. It just makes me hate. It's not even close to the same thing. This era is as close to modern wrestling as this era is to Shakespearean
20
plays.
Years prior, yeah.
Like, it's not even a different form of... It's a different form of art.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing.
I like this match, but, like, I think part of it was I was looking at this and my lens on this was, I was like, oh shit, we're coming right off of Mania. This is the Fallout SmackDown from fucking WrestleMania. So I was like, okay, where is the business at here? Like, what, you know, where am I at chronologically speaking? And I was like, this was a time period where I was not watching SmackDown, didn't have the channel. So I was like, there's no way I've seen any of this.
What was it airing on at this point?
I think it was on UPN, and I, like, in Charleston or wherever I was living at the time, we just didn't get UPN.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. This match, I liked it. Like I said, I'm right there. So, my dad used to have a complete, like, huge crush on Melina. So, this entire match, all I was doing is watching my dad just give her eyes, trying to talk to her. At one point, she turns around to tell him to shut the fuck up. Which is hilarious.
Is your dad the guy who is yelling Wolverine during the Chris Benoit match? God, I have a mental note about that.
No, but if you see her around the 5-minute mark, she's over on the hard cam side. My dad's not the one with the camera, dude, right next to him, just checking her out the entire goddamn time. Like, he's literally making eyes, telling everybody how good she looks.
One of the things.
And you can just see him just oogling at her.
You know what? This good for him for trying.
Oh, yeah. He tried to touch her ass at one point in time. Yeah. I think it's right here. You can see him literally raise an eyebrow.
What color shirt is he wearing?
Black.
Okay.
Right over her shoulder right there.
Is this why we didn't
take one of the things that I noticed about this match, and it's indicative much later on the show, the heat in this is so long.
Never ending.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big thing in 06, wasn't it? Because we covered that one tag match with and Eminem on that venue.
Eminem only ever had long fucking boring heats.
So I have a theory about that. I think people, like, the reason why people have such elongated heats, one is so, like, the babyface can just get more and more and more sympathy. And two, it's to make the crowd hate them so much because of how fucking boring it is that when the babyfaces do come in, they get back into it.
I don't know.
Your dad is trying so hard.
Oh, yeah, it was bad.
Like,
it was bad.
But imagine if he had landed it.
I actually did smack her butt as a child, and she swung at him, which was hilarious.
Amazing.
There
was a really fun little double thing not too long ago that actually involved Melina on the outside. So they pull Brian Kendrick out, and usually it's just the dude, like, yanking. She has to put her foot on the thing and, like, helps pull him out.
Yeah,
and I like that. Like,
and he just takes the big face bump on the outside.
He does.
Right?
And you don't ever see that from
the manager.
Chick managers.
I like, this is early London and Kendrick still.
Yeah.
And, like, it's so weird because, like, if you're an indie fan, it's just these two guys kind of thrown together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you're a WWE fan from the time, it's like you only know one because of the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was like I was real mad that we didn't get to see their entrance because their entrance is dope as hell.
Slide into the ring, backflip.
Yeah.
I
always tell everybody, never, ever do flips on your entrance because that's an easy way just to get your shit completely torn.
Like, it's, I don't know, it's a really weird pairing and a really weird run for both of them.
Yeah.
Because, like, in various points in time, there's been points where Paul Lund was in the discussion of, like, one of the best, you know, kind of sort of in the world very briefly.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a whole generation of people that will be like, oh yeah, he was with Brian Kendrick and they wore the shorts.
Yep.
Like, Kendrick was another guy. Like, yeah.
Shorts guy?
Yeah. I only know.
I love this gear from them, by the way. I thought this was a
cool. This is awesome. It's a great look.
Imagine. Imagine if you did it with the beret.
The baggy shorts?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I don't think that would.
I don't think Jay would let that happen.
Long pants, small hat? Come on, long pants, small hat? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt with nonsense.
The shorts, I'm not sure, but the long pants
those are,
with the beret, my word.
Those long trash bags with the beret would be awesome.
Yeah.
So
I just want to be Chris Hero.
Not to interrupt the wrestling
talk, Tom.
But Connor, this involves you. X-Men 97, part 2, the next episode you're in, it has a post-credit scene I was completely unaware of, but... make sure you watch that.
Okay.
Watch it after.
But also, Brayden, I violently interrupted you with nonsense. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. So there's a bit in this where they're going to go for the snapshot.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Kendrick stops it.
Yeah.
Whatever. Sunset flip. Every single person in the building bought it.
I actually wrote that down.
You don't need to hit 500 finishers.
I would have lost my mind if that had been it.
Yeah, I kind of bought it.
I did too. I literally wrote down incredible falsy on the sunset flip. Like, one of my dreams is to someday run a wrestling show just one time and literally give people, like, match point structures and finishes. And be like, hey, opening match, babyface over with a sunset flip from the apron into the ring. Do not do the kick the hand spot with the referee. That's stupid. Just to watch people be like, what? My finish is this. And I'm like, no, today it's a sunset flip from the fucking apron into the ring.
You're gonna win with a Blue Thunder Bomb tonight, and you're gonna like it.
You get your ass out there and you find that fucking dog.
I think Hunter won with a Blue Thunder Bomb on the 4th of July.
That's
tracks.
Pure America.
No, that was not a
Red, White, and Blue Thunder Bomb.
That was a Red, White, and Blue Thunder Bomb. Totally different, guys. Come on. It's like a spear and a
it's
gore.
It's a different hook. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, the spin is exactly a 1,776 degrees before you slam.
That's so many revolutions.
That's way more revolutions.
Well, that's America, baby.
That's what...
We just run around in fucking circles for no goddamn reason, guys.
Yep.
That's the American dream.
Dude. Man.
Yeah, you weren't ready for that, were you?
At one point in this tag, Paul London gets a decent falsy off of the drop salt.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's cool.
Drop salt onto
I steal that shit
tag partner is so
good stuff.
Just so good.
Drop salt is my favorite double down spot.
Yeah.
Tag spot.
After this very lengthy tag match that I did not get times for, there's a Booker T promo in the back with Charmel and Teddy Long.
Jesus.
And he got a restraining order. He's in a good mood, even though he got woimed.
He got a
restraining
order against the boogeyman that somehow affects Teddy Long.
It affects the show because Teddy Long can't book it.
Hold on. Is the boogeyman legally bound by Earth law?
Man, comma boogie.
But, so usually the person who breaks the restraining order,
the boogie.
If you get a restraining order against the boogeyman,
okay,
and he comes within 100 feet, he would get in trouble.
Yeah, correct.
Not Teddy Long.
No,
why
Teddy
is he
Long
getting
go, no, Teddy Long go to jail, because how do you put the boogeyman in jail? He can just teleport.
Imagine
by
if
the way,
he just had worms.
You keep worms.
I sincerely wrote down, Mr. Man, first name Boogie. I have paperwork for you. You've been served.
Mr. Boogie.
We need to go summon this guy. He's big as fuck and he's eating worms.
Excuse me, man, comma boogie.
And drinking boogie wisers.
Comma boogie.
Boogie. Oh, worm,
we had a couple boogie wisers with him. I'm not going to lie to you guys.
We did.
Oh,
I actually liked
him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a case of boogie wiser with him at Dreamwave. And anyone who would come within arm's reach, he said he would say, grab a beer.
The funniest thing about this is that Wolf told us to grab one, and we were like, oh, come on. And Connor was like, it's Budweiser. Come on, I don't want to fucking do it.
Like, even if it's
he turns back around, and he's like, grab a beer. We're, immediately, yeah, all right, fuck. We can't.
I said,
you can't deny it.
I said, you guys have a chance to have a couple fucking Boogie Wisers with the Boogeyman.
I'm one, like, we need to stop calling it that, because it sounds like you snot racketed into a Bud Heavy.
And well, now it
that's
does.
That's just Bud Heavy.
And two, for the same point and purpose, I can't wait to meet the fucking Godfather.
Oh, yeah.
Godfather's awesome.
The last show Godfather was on.
Pretty great.
Yeah, around here was
man,
a good time.
This
he said fuck on camera.
I don't know who the fuck this, you think you are.
This War Games match is going to be crazy.
I'm
anyway,
psyched.
Back
anyways.
To the show.
Yeah.
Teddy Hart looking over the restraining
Teddy
order.
Teddy Hart. Teddy Long.
Teddy, what did I say?
This
Teddy
is a different
Teddy. That's a different Teddy, dude.
I don't know the boogeyman.
One's canceled. The other one has me blocked on Twitter.
There's some insanely pixelated promo.
Yeah,
pixel.
Teddy Long got a fucking
dude,
he got hacked
not looking the
a while
right
ago
way.
And a bunch like said a bunch of shit online and then like blocked a whole bunch of people. Well, then he got his profile back, started unblocking people, and apparently he's still unblocking people. It was 3 years ago.
Wow.
He doesn't know. He don't know that he uses likeness on.
I thought that, like, this was a pretty big match to do on, like, a fucking Mania Fallout.
Why are we doing, like, crazy Mania rematches and shit on SmackDown?
And it's in the middle of the card, which, it's one of those things where, like, I remember at the time people were, like, very happy for Rey. There were some really fucking salty assholes that were like, well, this is only happening because Eddie died, which I think is bullshit.
If but it was happening because Eddie died, they would have gave it to Chavo.
Yeah.
Yeah! That...
And nothing, spoiler alert, nothing happens in wrestling unless something else happens.
Yeah. Like, correct. Yeah.
Like, I have heard promoters say, oh, this is what we're going to do unless person B has something huge pop off, and then we're going to put the title on him instead of this.
How many times do we on this show say,
it was supposed to be?
Oh my God, the whole last episode like, we had a drinking point about it.
But,
can we talk about, speaking of Rey... So many WrestleMania recaps just specifically for him.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
He
Road
is on
title, Road to WrestleMania.
Like a third of this show.
Mm-hmm. But, like, it made me think back of how, like, they. Yes, he's a world heavyweight champion. But, man, I feel like they pushed him down as champion.
Yeah. Because like, they only ever put over how small he is.
And how everyone just kicked the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Like, he's the prototype for Kofi Mania.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, he's not even the main event of the show. You just won the fucking belt, man.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, your first defense is not headlining the show.
That's the top of the hour. And
I
don't believe...
What the fuck is this guy's name? Brent Albright?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So, yeah, our next contest.
Riddick Moss.
Sorry.
Gunner Scott.
Booker T versus Gunner Scott, the future Brent Albright. I wrote down, oh, wow, it's Brent Albright versus G.I. Bro.
Versus Booker. Remember when he was just Booker because he lost the right to T?
Yes.
Which that means that via his name, he gets rights to all creative control.
Yes.
He is the Booker.
Well, now
man.
He's
right.
King Booker, so no one's. He's not taking shit from nobody.
Yeah. Well, not yet. He's not King Booker yet.
Oh, okay.
No, later this year, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For those
hey, I haven't watched 2006 yet, damn it.
Oh, damn. I feel like...
Meg's going in order. She's in 1957 right now.
The Hackenschmidt era is awesome. Anyway.
Me wearing the red Rey Mysterio mask over Charmel's shoulder. So this match, like, could you imagine just being called in for extra work out of nowhere, then being told, oh, hey, by the way, you have a, what, 5-minute match?
Right.
With Booker T.?
But they push him for a minute here, don't they?
They do a bit where he ends up kind of being like Benoit's young boy.
Yeah.
The angle, and then I believe they just drop it.
Is it because Benoit does some shit?
No,
or, okay.
No. It's legit like...
It's less time than it takes for that to happen.
Like, this is 2006.
Sudden surprising shit just seems to happen around Chris Benoit.
Yeah. No, by like, later this year... Albright is in Ring of Honor.
Yeah. He's in the Sweet and Sour Industries, baby. Or Incorporated?
Yeah. Sweet and Sour Incorporated.
There is a tiny moment between Gunnar and Benoit after this match backstage.
Distraction roll up via the Boogie Mangs music.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I guess we should talk about how the match ended. It doesn't really get going.
There isn't really much of a match, and they keep trying to put over how good Gunnar Scott is. But Booker T is eating him alive.
And then he just,
And he's so much bigger and in better shape, and they keep trying to put over how big and in good shape Brent Albright is in.
And he's a big dude.
Yeah.
But, like,
yeah.
Booker is massive.
Booker's gigantic. He's 90s big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a different time, dude.
I had a note saying, because obviously we said after this, he had the backstage segment with Chris Benoit. I didn't realize that he was Benoit's young boy at this time.
Yeah.
You thought Benoit was just like, yeah!
Yeah. So, like, my note, basically,
was... Would you second guess it for a second if that's all it was?
Yeah. I said...
No.
Imagine being an extra, being told you're going over on Booker T on SmackDown, and then getting a backstage segment with Chris Benoit. That's the type of story you could tell for decades, man.
Yeah.
My assumption is he might.
might still.
Brother, if we're not giving Gage Newton shit for the fucking... As CM Punk walked by, as he was a backstage.
Immediately. Oh, yeah. As soon as I saw him.
Good.
I said, wow, I can't believe you.
Good.
I was like, you're a hypocrite. He's like, what do you mean I'm a hypocrite? I said, you talk all that shit about Phil, and then as soon as you see CM Punk on national television, you go, oh my God.
Good.
He's like, I'm a professional. I said, since when?
But yeah, Albright up on Booker with a very nice O'Connor roll.
Yeah,
all the way through the bridge.
Well, you know, he's a really strong individual. He's in great shape. Yeah. So
via boogeyman music.
Definitely didn't get his ass whipped the whole time. I literally wrote down, oh wow, a drop toe hold. Because he does that. That's like the one thing he gets early on. Yeah. And Cole and Taz have to be like, wow, look at him go. And I'm like, Booker's punching him in the head.
They called the drop toe hold like he did a fucking Spanish fly.
Unbelievable. Like
Spanish fly toe hold. Somebody do it.
Why did they hit Boogeyman Pyro for...
To sell the bit.
Do you know what I want?
Play it.
Just once. Like, do it for the fucking curse. You guys come to do a distraction finish, and the people in the ring don't pay attention. Your nemesis is, like, not paying attention, just giving you the finger, keeps doing what you're doing, and you're like, no! Pay attention!
No way!
Now! Like, just once. Just
what if it works the opposite way, where the person we're trying to help gets distracted?
Yeah, no, come in and get him. No, turn around. No, yeah, you come
and
in,
then
I can
they
turn around
up.
And get him.
Because wrestling always posits that one person in the equation has to be clinically stupid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Turn it around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just one time.
I do too. I like this because I didn't even think about the pyro until it was said here, because this is a ruse by Teddy Long.
Right.
So Teddy Long is like, get those smoking sticks up there,
please. Big Ted doesn't care about the budget. He's like, set up that smoke machine. Like, let's
we
go.
Sold out Peoria. We
these goddamn right they people did. People need to know. Like, let's go.
It was like it had to be at least 16,000.
That is.
What?
56 is generous, I think.
I don't know.
This looks like a slim and trim 23.
I do think, by the way, it is interesting to see television coming from Peoria. Because I feel like
the home of new metal, dude.
No.
Right.
Like, the birthplace of new metal.
House shows are plenty.
Mudvayne is from there. Remember when Steve Corino got brained with a chair and then called a slur by Fred Durst in Peoria?
Pretty awesome.
Oh, damn. I was so off. Yeah. Maximum seating capacity for the Peoria Civic Center for WWE and professional wrestling events is approximately 12,000.
So my 56... 12,000? 56 might not be too far off.
That's the maximum capacity. I don't think the business was that high.
12,000? In the Civic Center? That's impossible. I will not believe.
No, see, they're 1,200. Like they're standing on top of each other
but
with
you got
a big trench coat on.
Don't forget floor seats.
I'm not.
It's typically utilized providing...
If everyone is standing nuts to butts, shoulder to shoulder...
Depending on the stage like directions, production needs, and whether the upper bowl is fully open, the usual capacity genuinely rates between 11,000 and 12,000 seats. You can find available tickets and seating charts for upcoming events at the Peoria Civic Center.
Guys, we're going to do what no one else has ever done, and we're going to sell out the Peoria Civic Center.
I need
guys, there was a shindy promoter around here. swearing to God he has an event coming up that's going to be running at the Peoria Civic Center.
In the parking lot.
No.
No, remember Joey Grunge?
Oh, yeah.
I'm acutely aware of Joey Grunge.
Unfortunately. That was the first time I ever saw you, Tom, and I legitimately thought that you were fucking Dolph Ziggler. I was like, why is he here?
Is he missing a leg now?
This was during his... Dolph Ziggler?
No, that was Gavin Alexander. Oh, he's dead now.
I don't know, man. Oh. Yeah, he is.
Did I know this?
Probably.
Yeah.
Was he the one who got shot?
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, oh, God, he died?
Yeah.
Oof.
So then it's Simon Dean versus Benoit.
The Simon system. Speaking of dying, which one?
This gimmick, for one. This show.
Which one?
This show hates full entrances.
Yeah.
I noticed that, which is so...
We don't have time. We have too much wrestling to give you.
By Connor's feet.
I also need you to cut a promo where you're just hammer-fisting someone in the chest. That's all he's
doing. Yeah! So, before this match, like they showed the graphic for Ray and Randy again, right?
Yeah.
They'll show it again. I want you guys to look at it. It's the most indie fucking looking graphic
Orton
ever.
Orton looks like he's looking two fucking ways like the crab from Moana.
They literally just screenshotted a fucking Ray on the turnbuckle at Mania, cropped him out, and said, we're going to use that.
Oh, yeah.
So Simon Dean tries to run over Benoit, and Benoit just says, go fuck yourself.
I think he was trying to
I love
away
that
personally.
As an open.
I kind of
bumping off the segue is awesome, but probably hurt like a bitch.
Dumping
it's
off
a
the
segue
is your second album.
I had to actually write down
the
Michael Cole line, quote, I believe Simon Dean was trying to run Benoit over. What else would he have possibly been trying to do?
Run away.
A clothesline.
I thought
himself.
He was trying to run away. Could you imagine? Stay right there with the clothesline out.
Going past you. God.
So I had the quote written down. Benoit may be a Hall of Famer one day.
Mm. Yeah.
And he could have been.
He could have been.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did notice that.
If it
yeah.
weren't for the unpleasantness.
Yeah, there was some real unpleasantness.
There's a guy in the crowd who will not stop just yelling, Wolverine!
Yeah, that's my dad.
Wolverine!
Is it for shoot?
No,
okay.
It's really not, I promise.
If you listen to it back, it is clear as day. Anytime the crowd dies down a little bit, that guy is just like, Wolverine!
It's this show's Super Dragon.
Yes.
Also, I keep thinking Simon Dean has a cutout on the back of his stuff and not just his head. So
it's a cutout of his face.
Yeah. But I think, it, like,
it's
I'm talking about an opening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like Ivory's butt gear.
Hey, babe.
No.
Even for like when it comes to jobbers, Simon Dean gets buried here.
Oh, mercilessly.
Two Germans. They're like, oh, he might be going for the hat trick. He unhooks it.
Yeah.
Works him down and hooks the crossface in. Fuck the third German. I don't need it. And taps him out.
I'm actually tired
you're
of
done
beating
now.
You up.
Yeah. I actually don't want to complete my signature maneuver.
You're not worth the effort. Just submit.
They were literally cut for time.
Also, Benoit is, like, not letting him get heat on him at all.
There was
it looked like they were genuinely fighting.
No, I agree. That was the part about this match that I actually really fucking liked. I was like, these guys are working. If you told me they had one conversation and it was about that bump off the segue... I would believe you. If you told me everything that is happening right now, they are talking about as it is happening, I have no real argument.
How familiar are they with each other? Because I know that there's...
I feel like they would have had to have had some matches here and there, like, but not like a...
Someone consult cage match and find out.
I'm not going to do that. But, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that would have been a house show thing. They probably would have been in some tags or something, but like... Benoit's still being pushed pretty heavily here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, is there any ECW crossover there or no?
Nah. Oh, like original ECW? Like, we could have gotten Nova versus Benoit. But
that's what I'm saying, because I know that.
I don't know that Benoit worked with, like, anybody outside of Jericho and Dean and Ray.
I have no knowledge.
Sabu, yeah.
Because he fucking crippled him.
The crippler crossface.
Yeah. No, I don't think they would have been there at the same time either. But, Benoit just decides, this match is over now.
yeah.
Fuck and you, Nova.
There's immediately this weird, bizarre JBL.
If you told me this was AI and it was 20 years ago, I believe you.
Guys, this fucking commercial thing for JBL starts, and I shit you not, I thought this was just an ad on Peacock for, like, life, and it was making me so upset. And then I realized, oh no, this is still part of the program.
This is great, JBL.
There's JBL. This was good. 100%. Good gimmick. It made me so upset until the fucking punchline, and then I was like, oh shit, I'm still watching the show. I may have been high, but...
I think, like, it's such good heel shtick. Like, it's like a fucking Tim and Eric bit about JBL. With it's the incredible. Chanting at the end.
Yeah,
like,
and it's getting faster.
JBL.
I love JBL. I miss this voice.
It's so fucking funny, and I hate to give JBL credit, but I know that that was probably his idea. Like, only a fucking true shithead could.
So, just so you know, to go back to it, they've only wrestled once. Besides, this was just two Royal Rumbles.
Oh, shit. Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wait.
Great opening, great closing.
Sorry, no, they wrestled one time before, almost a year prior, but that one was an even shorter match of 2 minutes and 21 seconds. That match was 3:08.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Only one.
Randy Orton with the flat top. Yeah. And the fucking...
Looking square as shit, man.
Yeah. This is how I liked my fucking video game graphics, brother.
Fucking...
Okay. So there's this... It's this backstage segment, and I immediately wrote down, it's the one where Kurt just slaps him and yells. Yeah. Dude, like, I knew it immediately. I didn't even have to watch
it. It's a saved video on my phone. I knew the background immediately. I couldn't believe that this happened in Peoria. This was my reason for watching this episode.
Dude, yeah. This is your here we go.
Yeah.
I thought, like... The bit pops up, and I was like, wait a minute, because I know that I've been sent this by Connor off and on through the years, you know.
Oh, yeah.
A half a dozen times or more. And I'm like, wait, that's what this is? It's not a clip?
It's just the whole thing. This is my favorite version of Kurt Angle in the Fed, is this one. Just
incoherent,
crazy
fucking maniac. Just... It's so unbelievably intense that it's kind of funny in this, even though...
It's funny because it makes it seem like he cannot exist. Like, what is his life?
He's on the precipice.
He's the angriest man who ever lived.
It reminds me of when... This is going to be kind of niche, but when Mickey Rourke's character's father dies in Iron Man 2. And he cries.
Yeah.
It's that yell.
I got you. Okay.
It's that yell. It's the exact... But, like, where one is sad anger, this is mad anger.
This is anger.
He's so pissed. Orton out here with burn in my light. Nice to hear.
No pyro because he's selling the slap.
Nice to hear you guys voted it out the first round during the... music tourney. If you don't know what we're talking about, go back in the files.
Not the best.
It's so good. Burning my light. Come on, bro.
It's good stuff.
I'm hitting the Randy Orton pose for those that don't have a visual.
Okay.
It's fucking great.
You ever that moment where you realize just how stupid you are?
No.
Frequently.
The opener to his new song is the opening chord to Burning My Light, and I realized that on July 8th, 2026.
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
I hate his new song. I actively try not to listen to the full thing, but it came up at work, and I was like, oh.
Wait,
voices?
Voices.
Yeah, I hate it.
How did it come up at work?
Wait, we're calling this his new theme?
I listen to Apple Music at work.
Oh.
I would call that new.
Ray is now forced.
His new her.
No, I don't watch the product, so I didn't know if they gave him a shitty fucking Deaf Rebel.
No.
Randy Orton.
RKO.
Randy Orton. Apparently, ever.
Nothing you can say. Randy voices.
I would just leave. I would never watch wrestling ever again.
I'd love to hear, like, Randy Orton come out at an indie show. Like, he gets to pick his music for the day.
Oh, good question.
That's like, awesome.
Yeah, Randy, what are you coming out to?
And, hey, Randy, you can't use the Fed theme.
Yeah.
What with your incredible falling out between you and the company that's happened in this situation. Welcome to LaSalle.
Or even just, hey, Randy, we're gonna let you pick whatever music you want.
Yeah.
You don't have to use your WWE stuff. What do you want
to
pick?
I would love to know. It's going to be insane.
It's probably Rev Theory.
No, I bet I think he would honestly come out to like Glorilla or something. Like
110%.
Like completely unhinged before doing the favors for me and the Knights of Columbus.
Wow, okay.
Meg has shattered to dust in this equation as well.
Like a fucking aquarium.
I would, man.
I don't need your fucking judgments,
Connor. Orton versus Rey, though.
Rey is now forced by Teddy Long to defend his World Heavyweight Championship 5 days after winning it.
Did he violate the restraining order?
I forgot that I have heat with Rey Mysterio.
5 days.
5 days.
I forgot I have heat with Rey Mysterio. I did the whole thing. I was in the front row. I had the mask on. He didn't even come over and say hi.
Well, he didn't have the big mask yet.
Yeah, but he had the big belt.
But once he gets the big mask, that's when he starts foreheading kids and telling them not to be a little bitch.
Whoa.
Don't be a little bitch.
He did come over, look at Steven in the front row and said, hey, don't be a little bitch.
There is a sign in the front row. I just saw it the first time. It was said, like, ticket prices and gas prices. And,
oh, God.
Yeah, the ticket prices were only 3 digits.
Yeah, that tracks.
Brother, I had floor seats at Mania 19. Granted, we are way back. They are on the field at Safeco Field. They are less than $100.
I remember...
That is bonkers.
I can go find you the ticket prices for WrestleMania 19 now.
And 19 was a good fucking show.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Good year.
Last
good year.
Yeah.
Solid good year. Vintage.
This match... One, I noticed Orton's kind of over here. There's some RKO chants going on.
Me.
2006 is the year that Randy Orton discovered the chin lock.
Dude.
Oh my fucking god.
He utilizes it. He utilizes the fuck out of it.
I'm watching this match. I watched this whole show in one setting days ago. I was in such a good mood. Everything was great, right? And I'm watching this, and I'm getting transported back in time, right? I'm remembering where I was in my life and with wrestling and everything. And I'm like, man, I remember Orton had a lot of heat with internet fans at this time. And I was on that new thing called the internet. And there was a show where somebody took a picture. They had a sign up that said, more chinlock, Randy. And I thought that was the funniest fucking thing. But I wasn't watching SmackDown, right? So right. I thought, this must just be kind of a bit or it's something that's exaggerated. No, it ain't.
Dude, he is relentless with the chin lock. And imagine if he just learned a different hold.
Nah.
Like, no, what if every 4 years he was like, what if now it's...
Ab stretch.
It's an ab stretch. What if now it's a cross-faced chicken wing? What if now it's a fucking cobra clutch? Yeah. What if now... You know, like...
Chinese fuck basket.
Yeah.
He does more chin locks in this match than he does in every... Per month now, I would say. Per month.
Yeah. Like,
it's kind of a reason why he gets disqualified from my greatest of all time conversation.
Yeah.
Because, man, it is just... There's a good portion of his life that was spent in a chin lock. Like,
it is.
A measurable amount of his life.
He will... Like, he actively... Oh, this is Scotty Keys. He,
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he... actively says how he just, like, stopped giving a shit for a while.
Like...
Or, like, he just...
That understandable.
Was fucking Chinlock City.
And, I mean, the guy's been around literally for fucking decades.
Wolf, I need you to read this highlighted note.
Chinlock City.
Okay. I literally wrote it down.
Oh, shit, that was
Scotty
Keys.
Mm-hmm.
Aw,
hostess?
This show... I wrote down in regards to this match, by the way, and this is how I wrote it. Just going to sit here a bit.
Just
this
a bit longer.
This match would have been good if the momentum wasn't stop-start. If they just...
I did kind of... Like, I wish Rey would have gotten more of a shine, but I did kind of like how every single time he got in motion, Randy cut him off with a strike.
Yeah.
I think that's a fun idea.
My thing is like, speed it up and slow and speed it up and cut some time.
Yeah.
Like, to me, I'm like, okay,
this got time. This got in a bad way.
Time, and I don't have to match times. I wish I did, because this would upset me. I wish this was like 25 to 30% shorter.
Like, yeah.
That's just too much. That's too much chin lock. More chin lock, Randy. It's the wording on the sign that was so funny to me.
Was there a comma?
There is. Because you don't see good punctuation on wrestling signs.
Yeah.
It's more chin lock, comma, Randy, question mark?
Yeah.
You don't see signs at all anymore.
No, I'd also argue Fed shows you don't see people having a good time because they realize that they're in crippling debt because they're at a Fed show.
Yeah,
they put their $30,000 WrestleMania seats on Klarna, and now they're paying monthly installments of $3,000. And it's 79% interest.
God damn.
TKO's gonna put him in the mines.
Jesus Christ.
But we got to see Austin Theory and Bron Breakker in a tag match.
Yeah, but I show Speed took a moonsault through table, so that was pretty cool.
Man, they have just fucking pushed Bron Breakker down. Fuck, man.
Yeah.
And just now you're just the guy. This
some fun stuff in this match.
Yeah.
It's just separated by so much chin lock that, like, I didn't really... It was just kind of exhausting to watch. I'm sure that this match is 10 minutes shorter than I think it is. Like, yeah. It's one of those.
There's a cool wheelbarrow bulldog. Orton takes it like a champ. There's almost an AJ Styles DDT, kind of, sort of.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was pretty neat.
619 around the post to set up. 619 to set up. Springboard leg drop to the back of the head.
Yeah.
I was like, is Orton going to take, like, get up and get the, take the Rana or... What
I thought it was going to be the Rana, and for whatever reason, that was what they went with.
Yeah.
Sure, man. Why not?
If you're listening to this and you haven't been in a wrestling ring or you're not a wrestler, leg drops, man, are...
There's a reason you don't see them.
Like, it blows my mind that they used to be, I would argue, relatively common when we know that rings were...
Stiffer.
Rings are already awful.
Yeah.
But we know that they were objectively worse back then. Like... Bobby Eaton's finish was a top rope leg drop.
Awful.
Terrible.
Wrestling ain't that important to me.
Like, unbelievable. No, I wrote it down. Good finish. It was just too long. There's then a quick smash cut to Palmer Cannon that I wrote down is the Evolved J-Mac. it made me very unhappy to see him. I'm not familiar with
it. He wanted to let you know that the following program was not expressly the intent of the network or himself. Smile.
Right.
Why and are then, you doing this on the top of the hour, like after the...
The match has ended.
Yeah, I don't...
Well, because The Miz is coming up next.
Yeah. Hoorah.
Hoorah. Indeed. He's giving you a reality check... And he's The Miz, and he's The Miz.
Guys, I wrote down, holy Christ, The Miz has always sucked. Like, I
didn't hate this.
Oh, I'm if glad, because I did. Like,
if he would have been like a Darby Allin type wrestler, like doing jackass stunts and shit, I would have been all in on The Miz.
I would love that.
I need a guy to adopt a jackass gimmick.
Yeah.
Like an old, like a Wild Boys type gimmick.
T-Money.
T-Money, I've got a great idea for you. You stand on this ladder and then hit it with a sledgehammer.
He's standing on the ladder and hitting it out from under him?
Have you never seen this bit before?
I don't know what the fuck you're saying.
Oh my god.
This is awesome.
T-Money, I need you to stand on a ladder and hit it with a sledgehammer.
Listen, it's a great idea, and I think Zawa Live could really stand to benefit from it.
Oh, I think the World Wrestling Federation could stand to benefit from this.
It's a ladder match, but you have to grab a hammer from the top of the
ladder. No, it's T-Money's promo segment. where he just comes out and does a Jackass stunt in front of a live audience.
Hi, this is T-Money, and welcome to Jackass. He's just constantly getting sued.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to show Tom something live on the pod show.
Yeah, we're doing this.
This gentleman's name is Poopies.
Poopies.
Yeah. Yeah, he absolutely did that.
Plural?
Yeah, plural.
Yeah, so I think that if The Miz was doing stuff like that, or like shooting himself out of a cannon, or like getting in a shopping cart and rolling it real fast down the ramp into the ring or something, that could have been
behind
something.
That. Yeah, yeah, because then he's like doing something, he's taking a risk. We got to talk about though the gigantic debut on this show, the big debut, one of the biggest stars feasible debuting on the show. I'm talking, of course, about Dominic Mysterio.
Dude, do you think him and I would have been friends if we would have met?
Well, future Hall of Famer.
What do you mean debuting? The ladder match was last
a year ago.
Oh shit! Yeah, you're right. My bad. I was so excited to see him. You're right. Well, it has to have been later. What with Eddie having already passed away.
Yeah.
He's not
what
there to Ray scream.
What with Mysterio being world champion at all?
Oh, yes. I am your father. Ghost, you see.
Yes.
He's a ghost because he's passed.
Ghost ladder match, and then Rey Mysterio hits it with a sledgehammer.
Guys, art is prevalent on this show.
Oh, man.
And a fantastic television program.
Regal.
Yeah.
Burchell.
Yeah.
Backstage promo, trying to somehow justify the existence of this character, which kind of honestly upset me, because I wanted to be like, just let him think that he's a fucking pirate. It's wrestling. I don't care. It's
no,
all
I like
stupid.
That it's, no. He's dressing like a pirate, ironically.
But it's working, so
but
he
it's
said,
working,
fuck
so
it.
He's, yeah.
I'm more interested in it if he's winning matches just being a pirate.
Correlation is not causation, my man.
One thing that I love is that I really miss with wrestling is just stupid setups for a match for like no reason, right? Like they were talking about like, oh, like the way you dress is terrible. Oh, well, you can fuck it. How about
right.
tonight? If you know we fight, and if I win, you dress how I want you to, and vice versa.
And if Regal loses tonight, he will have to dress up like a buxom wench.
Yes.
Can you do that one more time, please? Because
do you want me
emphasis.
To say that again? Because I've said it a shitload of times tonight.
Yeah, say it again.
If Regal loses tonight, he's gonna have to dress up like a buxom wench.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh,
that's right, Cole.
Man,
I wonder what he's gonna look like dressed up like a buxom wench, Cole. Buxom wench.
All I'm saying is, man,
how many fucking times are we gonna say that?
William Regal is everything incredible wrestling.
Oh, dude,
yeah,
I love
he
Regal.
Is
man.
William
so
Regal
good.
In a match. Where the stip is, if he loses, he's got to wear something silly. He's only defeated in those kind of matches.
Yeah, that's true.
He loves dressing up in a silly outfit.
He loves
He's a certain breed of serious wrestler that, like, is so good that he can just do the... He's, like, so above it that he just wants to do the goofy shit, it kind of seems like.
It's yeah. like he's at that point of, you cannot fuck with me. I can do anything that's moronic. Like... He
yeah.
is above any ridicule.
Yeah.
Know? Like, yeah, I did this. I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah, I'm going to dress up as a buxom wench.
I never want to hear that phrase ever again.
I got to be honest with you. The odds are pretty good that you won't hear it, at least for a very long time, unless you find yourself in
2006
probably
SmackDown.
A rebooted Pirates of the Caribbean movie at some point in your lifetime.
We gotta watch the next week's episode or something.
Oh my.
See what this buxom wench outfit looks like.
I actually kind of liked this match a bit.
Yeah.
William Regal is great.
Yeah, man.
They're like, beating the shit out of each other.
Paul
like,
Burchill takes a crazy bump on a half and half suplex.
Oh my god. I thought it fucking killed him. Like,
insane.
Regal did that move and never looked like he knew how to do it.
Yeah. Because
I remember him murdering, like, RVD on it and shit.
It's kind of why William Regal's awesome.
This
yeah.
match, of course, is following the World Heavyweight Championship matches.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I'll put that out there.
Tune in at the top of the hour. Rey Mysterio's already gone and left.
Yeah.
We're here for Burchell and Regal.
Pirate Paul is doing his best here, you know? He's
Pirate Paul.
Like, Regal is having this match with Paul Burchell.
Yeah.
And, like, Paul Burchell ain't bad.
No,
he's C4
fine.
Is pretty cool.
C4's kind of dope. Standing, I mean, it's a Spanish fly.
Yeah.
Which made me remember that, like, the first time I ever saw the Spanish fly, it was the Maximos doing it when it was a top rope double team move. And at that point, it was, like, the craziest thing that had ever happened in wrestling.
Yeah.
Now you see a standing Spanish fly, like, weekly.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's one of our tag moves?
I actually think that that version, by the way, is better and somehow, to me, makes a little bit more sense than the double team. We are both hooking this guy. Yeah. We are both doing the flip all the way down. Yeah. Like, three people doing that in unison is nuts, though.
I'd rather not take that bump.
In a professional wrestling setting, you have a lot of leeway with momentum.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Shit makes sense even if it really wouldn't happen that way.
Right. Like, the longer you run the rope, sometimes the faster you go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But if you run them for too long, then you get slow.
Especially if it's funny at the beginning of a match and you're a big fat guy.
You're a great big fat guy.
You're a big old fat...
Cole, you're a fat guy, right?
God damn it.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, William Regal loses this match.
Yeah, so he loses.
What?
Yeah, so I wrote down... This show kind of stinks of house show to me.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, it is in the Peoria Civic Center.
Yeah, it was... But it made me appreciate that it was on TV a little bit more, I guess. But, like, it just didn't feel like a TV show. It felt like a house show that just happened to have cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except for this next segment, this backstage deal with Teddy Long and a bunch of the SmackDown guys.
Yes.
I thought this was awesome. I thought this was cool. He announces the King of the Ring is coming back and that they're all in it. Mm-hmm. I just... That's cool.
Because I like a tournament thing. It's all of its
Easy Buddy
entrance.
Like, yeah.
From the start of the shit, like, from the jump, it's like, we are doing a tournament, and here's who's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
I also just like that because, like, we know in hindsight Booker T wins the thing, but he's standing there. We, at that time, didn't know that he
right.
won. But I just there's something about, like...
There's a through line.
Yeah.
No, it's fun.
But also the way that they set up next week's opening round matchup between Kurt and Randy Orton, which with everyone separating and stuff, that was cool.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Also, that's a big first round match.
Yeah, that's a big match for TV.
I like that, though. Like, I like tournaments and wrestling in general, but I like when, like, your opening round is like, oh, fuck, that's a big one. You know? Like, it just makes it way more interesting. At this point in my viewing experience, because like I said, I did the whole thing in one night, I was real high and I was in such a good mood. And I actually wrote this down, and we'll come back to this more on the future car episode, but I wrote down, blah, 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 guys, I'm off cars. I decided I'm off cars.
Oh, you texted me about this, I believe.
Yeah, but I'm on quads. And I actually, for no good reason on this notebook, just wrote down a list of machines that I am interested in seeking out. That means nothing. I then wrote down in regards to this match, Mark Henry versus The Undertaker in a normal match.
Snooze.
After the stipped up WrestleMania blow off.
Yeah.
Plus 10 match of the night.
This was my, wow, this is a house show fucking match.
Like, I knew we weren't getting dick or fuck.
No.
Yeah, but it was really cool for me when I was front row with fucking Mark Henry and fucking Undertaker.
This is my Mark Henry, though.
Yeah.
This is
your Hall of Pain? World's Strongest Man?
No, I wasn't watching.
Not quite, no.
No.
Hall of Pain would have been, like, 2011?
Yes.
So, Mark Henry cuts a promo before this match, saying that he almost fucking died from the coffin being airtight, and he almost suffocated.
Yes.
He had a panic attack in the coffin, because he got so scared.
This man, only adds to my...
No, he got so scared of the coffin and the dead man.
I just don't understand. Especially because this match is really nothing.
Mm.
And it's only to debut the Great Khali.
Correct.
So why not just have... Especially because commentary's like, oh, he's with Mark Henry's manager. This big guy that we don't know.
Right.
Why don't we just have Mark Henry's manager be like, oh, you beat Mark Henry. Well,
right.
Fuck you, I got a bigger guy.
Right.
And then do that.
Sincerely speaking, why is Mark Henry here?
Yeah.
Hit that money, baby.
Like, this could have been anybody.
He's got to hit that downside.
I'm going to say this. The way that this was shot, I actually had to rewind it, probably because I was pretty stoned, right? But this is one of, for me, the craziest ways they have debuted anyone ever. It is so fucking bizarre because the match is happening.
Yeah.
We just think it's SmackDown as is, just the way you remember it. They're outside of the ring. Mark Henry kind of just disappears. But then they just smash cut to Khali halfway down the entrance. There is no music.
Yep.
There is no lights. There is no pipe. There is...
Black pants.
Nothing. He is... But they don't even get him coming through the entranceway. He's halfway down the fucking ramp, and they won't stop talking about how big and thick he is.
Thick? I did not hear the word thick.
Dude.
I guess my favorite part is the fact that Mark Henry just completely fucking dips out.
He's just gone.
He's just like, all right, I'm done. He got that paycheck, baby.
Just loses interest, and he just goes away. No, Taz keeps saying, look at how thick this man is. The size of him. The thickness. He's so thick. Look how thick the thickness
and vascular
of him is.
He is.
He's so tall and thick.
And girth.
He's so wide and thick.
I mean, there might be three C's, Cole.
Girthy thick. It's so fucking crazy, and they just keep talking about who is he. Like...
He's some sort of great something, Cole.
There's some sort of like...
Great call.
Yeah, there's some sort of like khaki type pants, but they're not. They're like... Khali's.
Well, think of a way to fucking debut. Like, you just take a shot.
Tear Griffin.
Are we not going to talk about the fact that Khali takes two shots from the dead man and just shrugs him off? That's peak dead man too,
dude.
Like that's how you debut somebody.
It's crazy though, because like I've never seen this. Like I knew that they fed Taker to Khali. Oh, okay. The buckle ripping part is kind of neat, except that like I feel like they wanted the packing peanuts to all be out of the corner for the visual, because it looks a little silly when you headbutt a steel turnbuckle, but there's packing peanuts going wee.
Yeah.
I will say I had one of those packing peanuts for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They had just done this gimmick a few years prior with Heidenreich.
Oh, yeah.
Did they?
Where, yeah, he also had the buckle ripping gimmick when he was feuding with the Taker. Like, it felt like they had a couple ideas just for the monster of the week for Undertaker.
Yeah.
And somehow Khali just kind of stuck.
The headbutts to the back of the head I thought were kind of cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
Vice Grip was a pretty cool Khali move, I will say. Vice Grip, Brain Chop.
Yeah.
Decent arsenal for a big man.
Yeah.
People are largely confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it's a bad debut, right? Because it's like, okay, you're showing up out of nowhere and you're laying out The Undertaker on your first night. Like, you say that on paper, that sounds awesome, right? Cool, got it. It's literally, for me, just the way that it's shot, I guess, and, like, produced and whatnot that make it so weird. It's bonkers to me that there's no music. That there's no, like... Because it's the Fed. Why not just do... I don't know, Taker's in the ring, Mark Henry's been counted out... Wham! What is that? Oh,
maybe,
shit.
They just didn't have anything solidified for him yet, so fuck it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Make it more of a mystery, brother.
It's a really fucking weird debut.
And the slow-mo shot from 30 seconds earlier to close the show, for some reason, just floored me. I was like, I've never seen the show go off the air like that.
That's
like,
cinema, weird editing.
Like, why not just completely remind everyone this is a taped program from 2 days ago? Like, you know?
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, they used to do it during pay-per-views too, remember?
They did. Like, them being able to do that shit for the end of a pay-per-view always, like, really impressed
crazy.
Me. Like, the editing speed on that was nuts.
Because, like, they're playing it while they're finishing the editing. There's no way.
Right. Oh, yeah,
there's
yeah.
no way.
I don't know. I didn't really, like, love this show, but I thought it was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
A couple of neat moments on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was nice to, like, think back on, like, where we were in the business, I guess. Like,
it's Tom had already been wrestling for 20 years.
Yeah. No, 20 shit, years. Actually, March, I've had, like, maybe a match at this point. Maybe two.
100 yeah. matches.
That year.
Fuck.
Hold on.
That
says 2006, Tom, not just six.
This fucking guy.
Not 206.
You can all go to hell.
Well, we... Somehow we'll be there before you.
This fucking guy. Let's wrap this up.
Yeah, let's get out of here. I have to go to Minneapolis now.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat some food and then go see Evil Dead.
Yeah, shut this shit down. What are we?